Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the most compelling stories from the world of technology. Today, we're covering everything from high-stakes AI startups to cybersecurity concerns and fascinating hardware projects, drawing from the insightful reporting of TechCrunch, the deep dives on Hacker News, and many other leading tech publications. Before we jump into today's headlines, let's take a quick look back. On this day in history, May 17, 1974, Telenet, the first commercial packet-switched network service, officially launched in the United States. This marked a pivotal moment in the commercialization of internet technology, a precursor to the global connectivity we rely on today, and a foundational step for many of the tech innovations we discuss on this very show. Now, let's turn our attention to the present. Arohi, the AI boom continues to dominate headlines, but not all stories are about immediate success. Tell us about Cerebras Systems.
Absolutely, Arjav. Cerebras Systems, one of 2026's biggest tech IPOs so far, had a far from certain start. A recent report revealed that in its early days, the company was burning through an astonishing $8 million a month. They were working on a wafer-scale AI chip, a technology many in the industry believed was impossible to commercialize. This wasn't just typical startup lean and mean. This was a high-stakes gamble, requiring hundreds of millions in investment, pushing the company to the brink multiple times. Their story truly underscores the immense capital and risk involved in pushing the boundaries of AI hardware development.
$8 million a month is certainly a staggering figure, highlighting the incredible pressure on deep tech startups. Yet, despite those early hurdles, Cerebras found its footing. And speaking of success in the AI space, it seems investment is still flowing into promising ventures. Nectar Social just made headlines, didn't it?
That's right. Contrasting with Cerebras' nail-biting early years, Nectar Social, an AI-powered marketing operating system, just announced a significant milestone, a $30 million Series A funding round. This round was led by Menlo Ventures and its Anthology Fund, which, notably, was created alongside AI research powerhouse Anthropic. This substantial investment demonstrates continued investor confidence in AI solutions that aim to streamline and optimize core business functions like marketing, even as the broader AI market matures.
So, we're seeing both the immense risk and the substantial rewards in the AI startup landscape. But while some are hitting it big, there's a growing sentiment that the AI gold rush isn't benefiting everyone equally. What's the mood like regarding the broader impact of this AI boom?
You've hit on a crucial point, Arjav. Despite the billions being poured into AI, the general vibes within the tech industry itself, let alone the wider public, aren't universally positive. Many observers are noting a widening gap between the haves and have-nots in this AI gold rush. Large tech giants and well-funded startups are accumulating vast resources and talent, while smaller players or those in less privileged positions find it harder to compete or even access the transformative power of AI. There's a concern that the benefits are highly concentrated, leading to anxieties about job displacement, market monopolies, and an exacerbation of existing inequalities.
That's a critical perspective to keep in mind as AI continues to evolve. And on that note, there's also skepticism emerging about AI's immediate impact on business processes. I understand one article suggests AI might not actually make things faster?
Indeed. A recent piece challenges the widespread assumption that simply integrating AI tools will automatically accelerate existing processes. The author argues that while AI can certainly automate specific tasks, true efficiency gains often require a much deeper reevaluation and redesign of workflows, something many organizations aren't prepared to do. Without that foundational shift, AI can just become another layer of complexity, adding to overhead rather than reducing it. It's a call for a more strategic and less superficial approach to AI adoption, emphasizing that the technology alone isn't a magic bullet for speed.
So, it's not just about applying AI, but fundamentally rethinking how we work. And speaking of business concerns, another report labels every AI subscription as a ticking time bomb for enterprises. That sounds quite dramatic. What's behind that warning?
It's a strong statement, and it speaks to the hidden risks associated with the proliferation of AI as a service models. The article suggests that enterprises are increasingly relying on subscription-based AI tools without fully understanding the long-term implications. These can include vendor lock-in, escalating costs as usage scales, and dependencies on external models that could change or be deprecated without notice. For businesses, this reliance on external, proprietary AI subscriptions creates a strategic vulnerability, potentially leading to unforeseen operational and financial burdens down the line, much like a ticking time bomb where the costs and dependencies slowly build up.
Those are significant concerns for businesses navigating the new AI landscape. Now, shifting gears slightly to the academic and research world, how are institutions adapting to the rise of large language models? I hear Archive is taking a firm stance.
Yes, Arjav. The popular open access research repository, Archive, is stepping up its efforts to ensure academic integrity in the age of AI. They've announced a new policy. Authors who are found to have carelessly used large language models to generate content in their scientific papers will face a one-year ban from submitting new work. This move highlights the growing challenge of distinguishing human-generated research from AI-assisted or AI-produced text, and Archive's commitment to maintaining the quality and trustworthiness of its repository. It's a clear signal that academic institutions are serious about the responsible use of AI in scholarly communication.
A strong message for researchers to uphold originality. And speaking of major players in the AI world, OpenAI continues to be a central figure. There's been some significant news regarding its leadership and strategy.
Indeed. Greg Brockman, one of OpenAI's co-founders, is reportedly taking a more direct role in product strategy. This shakeup comes amid rumors that the company is planning to integrate its popular conversational AI, ChatGPT, with its programming product, Codex. Such a move would be a powerful consolidation, potentially offering developers even more seamless access to AI-driven coding assistance directly within their conversational interfaces. It reflects OpenAI's ongoing evolution and ambition to deliver increasingly integrated and powerful AI tools to a broader user base.
That sounds like a fascinating strategic move for OpenAI. But they're also making headlines for a very different kind of partnership, one that involves an entire country. Tell us about the collaboration with the government of Malta.
This is truly a groundbreaking development. OpenAI has announced a partnership with the government of Malta to roll out ChatGPT Plus to all citizens of the country. This initiative makes Malta one of the first nations in the world to provide its entire populace with access to a premium AI service. The goal is to enhance digital literacy, foster innovation, and empower citizens with advanced AI capabilities. It's a bold move that positions Malta as a leader in national AI adoption and could serve as a blueprint for how other governments might integrate AI services into their public infrastructure.
Providing ChatGPT Plus to an entire nation is certainly a bold step into the future. Now, let's pivot slightly to the very foundation of AI, the hardware. There's an interesting discussion comparing the costs of Apple Silicon for offline LLMs versus cloud services like OpenRouter. What does this reveal about the economics of running AI models?
This comparison delves into the surprisingly complex economics of large language model deployment. The article points out that while running LLMs on powerful local hardware, such as Apple Silicon, offers benefits like privacy and potentially lower latency, the initial investment and ongoing electricity costs can be substantial. In some scenarios, these localized operational costs can surprisingly exceed the expense of using cloud-based inference services like OpenRouter, which offer on-demand access to various models. It highlights that the choice between on-device and cloud-based AI processing isn't just about performance or privacy. It's also a crucial financial decision that depends heavily on scale, usage patterns, and specific operational requirements.
That's a fascinating look at the hidden costs of AI. From the economics of hardware, let's turn our attention to cybersecurity, a topic that's always high on our radar. A security researcher has made a significant claim about Microsoft's BitLocker.
Yes, this is quite concerning. A security researcher claims to have discovered and released an exploit for what they describe as a backdoor built into Microsoft's BitLocker full disk encryption system. While Microsoft's intent was likely for legitimate recovery purposes, the researcher argues that the mechanism could be abused, potentially allowing unauthorized access to encrypted data under certain conditions. This revelation raises serious questions about the security architecture of widely used encryption tools and the delicate balance between robust security and built-in recovery options, particularly when those options could be exploited.
And following that thread of security and privacy, Mozilla has weighed in with UK regulators on the importance of VPNs. What's their argument?
Mozilla has issued a strong statement to UK regulators, emphasizing that virtual private networks, or VPNs, are essential tools for privacy and security online and should not be undermined. This comes amidst ongoing discussions and potential regulatory changes in the UK that could impact encryption and online anonymity. Mozilla argues that VPNs play a critical role in protecting users from surveillance, censorship, and cyber threats, and that any measures that weaken or restrict their use would be detrimental to digital rights and overall online safety. It's a clear advocacy for a free and open internet, with privacy at its core.
A vital stance from Mozilla, highlighting the ongoing battle for digital privacy. Moving into the world of software development and innovative coding, we have a fascinating project called ZeroStack. Tell us about this Unix-inspired coding agent.
ZeroStack is an intriguing new open-source project, a Unix-inspired coding agent written entirely in Rust. It aims to streamline and automate development workflows by providing a powerful, extensible command-line interface that integrates with various development tools and services. Drawing inspiration from the philosophy of Unix, which favors small, composable tools, ZeroStack promises to offer developers a highly efficient and flexible environment for coding, testing, and deployment. Its pure Rust implementation also suggests a focus on performance and memory safety, appealing to those who prioritize robust and reliable tooling.
A powerful new tool for developers, certainly. And speaking of development, there's an interesting technical deep dive titled, Native All the Way, Until You Need Text. What challenges does that article explore?
This article delves into a perennial challenge in software development, particularly for native applications, the complexities of rendering text. While developers often strive for native performance and aesthetics, especially in UI, the moment text is introduced, the simplicity often breaks down. Text rendering involves intricate considerations like font metrics, layout engines, internationalization, accessibility, and high DPI scaling, making it one of the most difficult elements to implement perfectly across different platforms and environments. The piece highlights that while graphical elements can be straightforward, text often forces developers to compromise or adopt complex frameworks, challenging the native all the way ideal.
An insightful look at the often underestimated complexity of text rendering. Now, for something truly unique in the realm of embedded systems. Someone managed to host a website on an 8-bit microcontroller. That's quite a feat, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Arjiv. This project demonstrates an incredible blend of ingenuity and technical prowess. Hosting a functional website on an 8-bit microcontroller, a device with extremely limited processing power, memory, and networking capabilities, is a testament to minimalist computing. It involves heavily optimizing every aspect, from the web server code to the content itself, pushing the boundaries of what these tiny devices can achieve. It's a fascinating throwback to early web development, showcasing how much can be accomplished with severe constraints, and offering valuable lessons in efficiency and resource management.
That's a fantastic example of pushing hardware to its limits. Now, let's explore some other interesting gadgets and a touch of retro tech. First up, an offline desk gadget that promises to improve posture.
Yes, this is a very practical piece of tech. The DeepCare Posture device, priced at $350, is designed to help users improve their posture and movement habits at their desk. What makes it stand out is its ability to run entirely offline, addressing privacy concerns that often come with connected health devices. By providing real-time feedback and guidance without needing an internet connection, it offers a focused and private solution for a common modern ailment, proving that sometimes the most effective gadgets are those that do one job well and discreetly.
A thoughtful approach to personal health tech. And for those with a fondness for computing history, there's a project about playing Atari ST music on an Amiga with zero CPU usage. That sounds like a technical magic trick.
It really does. This project is a brilliant piece of retro computing engineering. The Atari ST and Amiga were rival computer platforms in the 80s and 90s, each with distinct sound hardware. Getting Atari ST music, specifically the YM2149 chip's output, to play on an Amiga while consuming virtually zero CPU cycles is a remarkable achievement. It involves leveraging specific Amiga custom chips, like the Pala sound chip, in clever, unconventional ways to offload the emulation work from the main CPU. It's a deep dive into chip-level programming and cross-platform emulation, demonstrating the enduring creativity within the retro tech community.
Pure genius for the retro enthusiast. And finally, a project that combines utility with a touch of DIY charm. A nicer voltmeter clock.
This is a delightful blend of electronics and aesthetics. The project focuses on creating a clock using vintage-style analog voltmeters, giving it a unique, steampunk-esque appearance. Instead of traditional digital displays, the hands of the voltmeters are cleverly controlled to indicate hours, minutes, and perhaps even seconds. It's a testament to the appeal of tangible, physical interfaces in an increasingly digital world, offering a bespoke and visually appealing way to tell time for those who appreciate handcrafted hardware and a touch of nostalgia.
What an interesting array of stories today, Arohi, covering everything from the grand ambitions of AI to the intricate details of embedded systems and retro computing. Thank you for that comprehensive overview.
My pleasure, Arjiv.
And before we sign off for today, here's a fun fact to leave you with. The very first expert system in artificial intelligence, MISON, developed in the 1970s to diagnose blood infections, was never actually deployed in clinical practice. Despite performing as well as human infectious disease experts in tests, it faced insurmountable ethical and legal hurdles regarding accountability in real-world patient care, highlighting an early, complex challenge in AI adoption that we still grapple with today. That's all for today's tech news briefing. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more headlines and insights from the fast-paced world of technology. Until then, have a fantastic day.